Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix, founder and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, based here in Southeast Queens, New York. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's show. Oh, we're going to have a goodie, I believe. I'm hopeful. I got a special guest tonight. Her name is Sister Amunet. She's going to be talking about spirituality, family, and relationships. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. I'll try to respond to them as best I can, read them out over the air. Also, if you call in, please be aware of background noise, children, dogs, cats, TV, radio, whatever, because this is being taped. I originally scheduled the show for 90 minutes, but at the last minute, I changed it, so we're going to do 2 hours. We may end a little earlier, but this is to give those who want to call in the benefit to call in. Because with 90 minutes, if you don't call in before 90 minutes, you won't get in, even though we will still be taping for another maybe 15, 30 minutes. So what I did was I just stretched it until 10 o'clock instead of 9:30. Again, our call-in number is 424-258-9271. The chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. Also, in tonight's discussion, you may disagree, you may agree. At the same time, we can agree to disagree and treat each other with respect. If you don't agree with some of what's said by anyone, my guest speaker or any of the callers, it's okay to disagree. I just ask that you do not attack. It's okay to feel you're right and not attack. This is how we learn to get along. This is how we keep the discussion going. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. Her name is Sister Amunet. She's an educator and an ordained minister, a certified educational counselor, songwriter, and activist with a BA in psychology and an MS ed. Counseling. Okay, she's currently working on her doctorate in psychological counseling. She's a native of the Bronx. She's worked in the public school system of Georgia, was trained as an intern in counseling, academic advising, and teaching at John Jay College. Okay, received her master's degree from Fordham University right here in the Big Apple, New York City. She is a certified educator and guidance counselor in the state of Florida. I'm going to get right to it. I want to welcome, with the help of my listeners, let's welcome Sister Amunet to tonight's show. Good evening, Sister.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I can. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being here. I appreciate the invite, and I'm looking forward to a very, very interesting discussion with hopefully a lot of questions and comments and a lot of feedback. And I thank you once again for having me, and let's do it.
Well, again, welcome for being on tonight, and I got to tell you, as we speak, the lines are filling up, Sister. Okay.
Wow.
Yes. You know, as you know, I saw your YouTube clip the other night, and
yes,
you know, you had a view about family and relationships that's not, for me, it's not the norm. You know.
Okay.
And that was one of the reasons why I wanted you to be on. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So some folks to hear a different side, maybe some have already heard it. I don't know, but for me, it was kind of different. You know, so, you know, the floor is yours, you know, for the next 10, 15 minutes, however long it takes you.
Definitely. Well, the thing is, you know, even with that video, lately I've been involved in and engrossed in writing a project and looking into the dynamic of relationships looking into the dynamic of marriage, dating among single people. I myself happen to be married and have been married to the same person. If you want to total it, almost 14 years. We had a time where we were split. We came back together through maturity, and we were able to sustain and make it work. But, you know, just examining different dynamics, different things that people tell me, different friends and people that I do speak to and observe within their own relationships, people still don't have the answers to how relationships work, to how they even begin. I'm noticing that a lot of women that I do talk to and speak with don't have a clue on how to. They're always looking for the right man. Where am I going to find the right person? In my age group, period, I mean, I'm almost a rarity. I don't have any married girlfriends. You know, I'm in my late 30s. Where are they? I couldn't find them anywhere. They're not in the church scene. They're there. I mean, we have married people, and I've seen them, especially, let's say, when I was living in Atlanta, I did see a few. But it's rare. You just don't find it. And I said, well, the question is, why are so many sisters single? 70% of sisters are single. And the question is, why? Why is this happening? Why are we not able to get married and be married if that is the tradition and what we're supposed to be doing? What a lot of women don't realize is that, you know, they're becoming, especially in our community, we're happy and content to be baby mamas now. Mm. When did that happen? Why did that happen? And if you're content to be a baby mama, then you have to ask yourself, well, are you the first baby mama? Are you the second baby mama? Because guess what? If you're a baby mama, you're sharing a man. Because you ain't married to him and he doesn't belong to you. And that's the conclusion that I've come up with, and a lot of other sisters who are examining this from a so-called conscious perspective and trying to look outside the box and say, well, why is this happening to us? Why is this occurring with us? Where is the black family? What is the black family? What is the black nucleus? Why are so many single women raising boys, too, and they don't have a father directly in the household, and we've become comfortable with this concept that it's okay for us to do this by ourselves. And these are the things that I've been looking at and just evaluating and saying, why isn't this working the way it's supposed to? Why are white women getting married, basically, they get married at the opposite rate? I think at a 70% rate, we're single at a 70% rate. So the question is why?
Yes.
Why?
That is a question.
Why? You know, and this is why I feel that the family needs to be reevaluated. We definitely have abandoned a lot of spirituality with regard to, you know, what we require of a mate. I've seen a lot of sisters also in the church world, if you want to get into traditional Christianity and traditional spiritual concepts, basically settle. Just to have a companion that may not be on the same spiritual frequency and plane as they are, but they will settle. And this is just in a lot of different spiritual philosophies and different frameworks. If you look at it, women are settling in droves and settling not to be married. And the excuse I've heard from a lot of men and a lot of brothers is, well, you know, I can lay down and make a baby with her, but I'm not ready for marriage. So wait a minute. Rewind the tape. Why is that? Why are you willing to make a baby with her? Well, because financially I'm not ready to make that kind of commitment to her. I had one sister friend tell me once upon a time, and she said to me, she says, well, I think marriage is different. I said, so what are you talking about? She says, yeah, my daughter's having a baby. The daughter was barely out of her teens. I said, okay, so she's having a baby, but you don't want her to get married to the gentleman who's willing to be there for her? No, I think marriage is something else totally different. Wait a minute. You know, once upon a time it was a requirement. If you got a girl pregnant, what did you do? you did the right thing and you married her. It was just
right.
required back in the day. That was the standard. That is what you did. That was the honorable and right thing that you did as a man. You married a woman. So I'm trying to figure out here how we got into this place where that's no longer acceptable and why so many singles, sisters that are single, they want to desperately be married. They do. They want to be married, but they don't know how. And they ask me, you know, well, how did you get married? And, you know, like it's some strange anomaly. And, I mean, you know, I took my time. I wasn't clingy. And guess what? I wasn't looking for it when it happened. So I don't know, you know. So I'm really trying to evaluate this, researching it from every angle and every perspective that I can. Tonight what I want to talk about is basically, and, you know, have people give me some feedback on it, you know, their experiences with dating and why we're not enjoying our singleness to the fullest. I see a lot of desperation within our community. Women are not whole and complete in their singleness. And I think the key is when for love to come in and when we have that open heart for new love to come in, we're actually so involved in what we're doing and enjoying our singleness that love just happens to just show up sometimes when we least expect it. So when they come to me and they say, well, gee, you know, sister, why I'm not finding love? Why are guys playing me? Why am I bumping into guys who are not necessarily serious about really investing themselves and devoting themselves to me? Well, you made yourself too readily available, and they can sense that. They can sense the neediness. They can sense that you desperately want to be in a relationship, and if you give yourself away too quickly, then men get tired of that, I think. So I'm looking at that. I have so many people that come to me with that, with the whole dating scene, and it's like they're dating, and it's a never-ending cycle of dating, and where are we going? Where are you going with that? What is the ultimate goal of dating? Is dating just to have fun? For some people it is. Is dating to have a commitment? Then don't come to me and cry because you're hurt after the fact because it didn't work out. Well, what was your goal? Was the goal for marriage? Was the goal for commitment? Or was the goal for easy, quick thrill and the emotional aspect of marriage? So these are some questions that we need to look at. What is the goal in dating? What is the goal in seeking a relationship? And everybody's different. Everyone is different. So some people are just out for it, though. But it depends on your spirituality. It depends on where you are in your spiritual walk, in your development, in your psychosocial development, in your cultural development. All of these things need to be looked at with regard to dating and pairing up with somebody who's an equal, even match for you. So I think it's important that you get to know yourself before joining with another person. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand that, and a lot of that is not happening.
No, it's not. People are not getting, you know, into themselves, taking the time to find out who they are, you know, from an economic standpoint as well. Are you established enough economically? Are you in debt? Are you carrying debt, an outstanding debt? Because guess what? When you join with that person, you carry and you take on their debt. You know, just things to consider that we don't even think about. We get so swept away in the emotion of a moment instead of thinking about, you know, strategically, well, I am in love and I would like to be in an everlasting relationship or whatever that means. Is there everlasting love? That's another question that comes up and that arises. You know, what is love? Is love supposed to be for a lifetime? How many people still believe that love is for a lifetime? Because that's not evident in the data that we're seeing manifested in our statistics today when it comes to relationships. You know the divorce rate is sky high. You know it's out of control. So what's really going on? You know, that's the question that I ask. What is happening here? We see, you know, that it's just not working. It's not working. So we have to reevaluate why. We have to reevaluate the steps that we took to actually get to where we are in a relationship or whoever we're with or, you know, how it began, the journey, who. Get to know yourself. Get to know the person before joining with them. Because if you don't have complete faculties and you're not a complete person holistically within yourself, you know, you're coming in half of a person and you're trying to join with that person, and they may not be a complete person. So you've got two broken people that are trying to come together and fill each other's voids, and you can't do that. You have to be whole within yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to be established, I feel. You have to be have some type of spiritual concept, some type of relationship with spirit, or else you won't be able to bring forth anything.
Wow, you know, I agree with pretty much of what you're saying. You know, one thing stood out, you said when folks bring debt to the relationship, you know, that's a tough one. Who do you know that's not in debt? Some kind of debt.
Right.
Maybe it's not major debt, but there's some kind of debt there.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And there are extreme cases, but these are the questions that we don't ask. And then when we get there, what causes the most strife within a relationship and a marriage? You know what it is? Finances.
Is it finance? Oh, okay.
Finances. And then you wonder why you got there, because you didn't ask those questions initially before pairing up with that person. Once again, what are your finances like? What are your spending habits? What is your attitude regarding finance and economics? Do we come from the same place and the same kind of background and upbringing, where we understand economics the same way and have the same type of socioeconomic background? That's important. A lot of people don't talk about it. They feel, well, why talk about that? We're in love. No, that's very important. You know, your attitude toward finance, your attitude toward money, your attitude toward economics overall, and where you want to go and how you strategize and how you plan on getting there financially and staying there. And if things happen and things arise, how do we cope? You know, job loss causes strife in a marriage. You know, it was the destroying factor of my own parents' marriage. You know? So, yeah, you know, that
finance.
Was a biggie. And a lot, finance. What do they say, no romance without finance? That's
it's
cold.
A new saying.
That's really cold.
I heard, it differently. No romance without finance is a new
That's
saying.
Right.
Something like that. You know, it's funny that you're talking about that, because it's no coincidence. Just the other night, if I can find it, here it is. I asked this question, why do couples break up over money? And I think one of the first answers I got was the guy is too cheap, selfishness is another answer. One sister said, in too many cases, people aren't having reality checks about it before they become a couple, which kind of agrees with what
and
you're
that's
saying.
That's the truth. That's the
and
truth. And that's exactly
another one. Another response was, okay, where I don't know. I don't really get this one here, so I'm going to skip that. really, because I don't know. It's kind of jumbled up. I don't understand what they're saying. Another comment was, when money worries come in the door, love goes out the window. Okay. All right. I got that. You know. Okay. Oh, another, you know, on the spiritual side, someone says lack of praying. Okay.
Yes.
And then I got another comment, and this guy's, I believe he's a deacon or some kind of minister. He said they don't understand the power of money. You know, those are the comments I got, you know.
Right. And it's true. And it's true.
Right. Finances play a big part. You know, something else that stuck out, you said, how long does love last? You know, who knows? I think it's what you put in. I think it's what you put
in.
You know, because we do a lot in the beginning. We do a lot in the beginning to attract the person, to fall in love, and somewhere in there, some of us get complacent and we don't continue to do the things that we were doing.
Well, what it is, Tony, I think that people fall in love with the feeling of falling in love. And when that feeling comes and goes, see, love goes through stages, as we all know. You know, you have that honeymoon, love you phase. In the beginning, it's very lusty, it's very passionate, it's very, oh, I can't wait to see you, you give me butterflies. And then as time goes on, you see, when that feeling leaves, and you can still look at a person and be in love, but love goes through maturation stages. And when that feeling leaves, people really begin to think that they're no longer in love because everybody wants the feeling. It's the sensation of the passion. And you can have a very passionate marriage, but that takes, over time, that takes work because you have to rekindle that passion and you have to find new and creative ways to stay in love and to maintain love and to make it spicy and to keep it sexy and to keep that going. So it takes a lot of creativity. It takes a lot of maturity. And you have to know that being in a real, mature, grown-up relationship that lasts is not always going to be about the fuzzy wuzzies and the butterflies and, ooh, he called me. So you have to learn to keep that alive. You have to start dating again. You gotta be sexy. You have to continue to be sexy and find
exactly.
new creative and exciting ways.
Yeah.
You have to nurture your relationship.
You gotta nurture your love.
That's right.
And I think that's a big mistake we make. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We get complacent.
We don't. I see you all the time. It's just you, you know, and here you come. You gain a little weight. You look a little different now, you know, and you're not as hot as you used to be, you know, and you wear holes in your socks, and, you know, you used to go all out to try to impress me. Now I see you. Now you break wind in my presence. You don't care. You used to care about those kind of things. You don't brush your teeth in the morning
God.
And try to kiss me, you know.
Yeah, that's real stuff, though.
You know,
but that is real stuff you told me, you know.
We just let it go. You know, we just let it go.
Yeah, that's real stuff, sister. Listen, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to go to the phone lines and scan who I got on the line, and we're going to continue in just a few minutes. All right, so stand by.
Where is the love?
Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome. Tonight, we've been discussing with our special guest, Sister Amunet, spirituality, family, and relationships. So far, I've heard some things that I totally agree with as far as the love situation, what we're doing and what we're not doing, and how we're going in, and what's happening in the end. Our call-in number is 424-258-9271. Press 1, I know you're in the queue, and I'll bring you in on tonight's conversation. Also, if you call in, please be aware of background noise. This show is being taped. Also, the chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments and thoughts. I will read them back over the air. I'm going to go to the phone lines. First, I'm going to open Sister Amunet's mic, and I'm going to go to one of my first callers. It's a brother by the name of Kayem. Good evening, brother. Are you there? Kayem, are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. I am here.
Welcome
Good
to
evening.
Tonight's show. Good evening, brother. Thanks for calling in. Say hello to Sister Amunet. Her mic is open.
Oh, peace, sister. How are you?
I'm quite fine, Kayem. And how are you, brother?
I'm fine, by the grace.
Good.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to make a quick comment, if I could. I mean, I definitely think, you know, the topic is so important, you know, given the statistics. But what I wanted to always raise is that, you know, there's a lot under the system of white supremacy that we have been dealt. And, you know, just to give one example, is like home economics is out of the classrooms.
It sure
we have shop. I mean, you know, the incarceration is up since, you know, 500-700% since the 70s.
Yeah.
There's all kind of things that are being done to us educationally, spiritually. I mean, you know, we're under attack. So, I mean, it's not that. I guess I just don't want us to blame ourselves too much. I mean, it's definitely ours to fix, but I think we have to recognize the war that we are in and never kind of, you know, just kind of put a blind eye to that and act like nothing's going on. You know, we were brought here to be, you know, slaves, but we, of course, we're not going to continue in that. We're going to rise above it. We have to recognize what our slave master has done and is continuing to do us, and that will unite us, I think.
Yeah, and I hear exactly what you're saying within those social constructs that have been put in place. And, you know, systemic racism is real. It is a reality. However, what we have to do is relinquish some of the language that we're using, such as our slave master. We're here now. It's 2013. There's enough information out there. We are in the electronic age. We're in the age of Aquarius. There is no reason why we should still be calling that man our slave master. You feel what I'm saying? Not in 2013. There's too much information, too much knowledge of self, too many people that have come through the door in our liberation as African people, if you want to call us that. There's too many people that have been here. There's too much information out there for us to be still calling the white man our slave master in this day and age. If you let somebody master you, that person has become a god to you.
Right.
That becomes your deity.
Right, I understand
that. He does not have to be your deity. You
were designed to. I believe that is kind of what we're under. I mean, yeah, no, he is not a slave master, but in much of our minds, whether we like to admit it or not, that is kind of, you know, what we're under. You know, I mean, we have to follow a capitalist system for the most part, I mean, you know, nobody wants to be called a slave. You know, nobody wants to feel like they're a slave, but there's a reality that we have to face in order even to fight against it. You know, an alcoholic. Yeah, so, I mean, even if it's not me or you or, you know, or another brother, the statistics show that something is going on and that many of us are still dealing with that, you know, mentality, whether it's true or not. For us, it's true for us as a people at this time.
We're still dealing with
the psychosocial
effects of that.
I would say even all over the world, you know, I mean, it's not a lightweight thing. And, I mean, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a slave. You know, nobody wants to come out and say, hey, I'm a slave. But we have not gotten to the place where we could, you know, overcome this thing yet. So in the meantime, you know, there's a lot that has to be recognized. I mean, you know, we're powerful. Yeah, this is the age of information. But if we don't come together and use it in a way that can liberate us from all of these things, then it's useless.
It's true.
Can I interject just for a sec? Like, you know, both of y'all are on point as far as I'm concerned. Let me just say that right from the from the gate. Brother Kyle, you know, he said something that kind of stuck out. You know, he said a lot, but it stuck out. Okay. That mindset piece is a biggie with us. Okay. We want to hold on to learned helplessness.
Okay?
We want to hold on to that.
You got it.
We do. Because, you know, I mean, y'all made some valid, I mean, y'all hit it right on the head. But we want to hold on to learned helplessness and internalize
and
depression.
Exactly.
And the thing is, with all the awareness, we still refuse to let it go and do what we need to do to rise above it. You know, and you know, that is our issue. We give, I really feel like for us, okay, we know where our Europeans stand in this country, but in certain situations, especially when it comes to our progression in society, we give them too much power over
us
and blame. I see this happening all the time. You know, I agree with the brother. No, we cannot dismiss the fact of what kind of power they hold, but I think we give them too much power.
Yeah.
We give them too
much power. They're not studying us. They're not studying us like they used to. They've moved on.
Exactly.
They moved on. They're looking at us like we're crazy. Because with all, like I said, with all the resources that are out here, it's up to us now. Now it's us that's doing us. If you're looking at who's shooting up in Chicago, you know, the name of this show is Save Our Children, you know, who's shooting each other up? We're doing it to ourselves at this point now. Some people say it's chemtrails. And I'm with the brother completely with understanding and recognizing systemic racism. That is real. That is very, very, very real. I'm not going to say that it's not. I'm not going to say that it's non-existent. I'm not going to say that there aren't powers that be that have certain things in place in the infrastructure of our society embedded into their psychosis called racism. Okay? It's really real. But we have our own psychological problems within our own race. Okay? And I'm very much an adherent and a supporter of the theory of post-traumatic slave syndrome as well. All right? And post-traumatic slave syndrome basically puts us into a mindset, as Tony was saying, of learned helplessness and learned hopelessness, okay? And now we want to look at that and say, well, let's blame the white man for the black woman and the black man's dysfunction. Okay, that's true. We know that that happened. Okay, we know that if we get into the essence of things and the origin of how things happened during the post-Atlantic slave trade, if you want to go back 500 years ago and say, well, the black man was removed from the household even in slavery, he couldn't protect the black woman during slavery, and then the discourse started and the social discord, and then we were divided and there was division on the plantation and the white man had a wonderful massive strategy. It's even been debunked at the Willie Lynch theory. That whole Willie Lynch thing, that was written by us in the 1960s. Newsflash. That wasn't written by a white man, because the linguists and historians at university level could actually analyze the piece. There's a lot of internet information on that whole Willie Lynch thing.
Well, the white man came up with this strategy, and I'll show you how to make a slave and make them docile for the next 500 years, and you'll divide this one. That was written by black people, actually. Okay? We do these kind of things to ourselves. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So we can't really blame the white man anymore. We cannot
That's not really what my point was, but I do agree. You're right. We cannot blame the white man, you know, because, I mean, what is the white man, you know? I mean, really, it could be anybody. But what I was talking about is kind of like systems or things that are actually not in place or in place to impede us or not in place to educate us to know, you know, how to be in love with each other, to know how to come together, to know how to keep families together, you know. I mean, and you know, whether you say, well, you're right, it's not the white man, but it's a system. It's a system that's in place. That
it's a cyclic or cyclic, if you will, system in place. And I can feel also what you're saying as well, because we over time then we don't have the examples of what love is in the household. So how we don't have anything to model. If we don't have a model or a template or a blueprint, what do we have to go by?
Nothing in the media. Yes, nothing in the media, nothing in the schools, nothing in the home anymore, you know.
Right.
Brothers are locked up in jail, and I mean, not saying whose fault it is, but these are the things that have to be addressed. You know, I think before we're going to be able to put, you know, these things back together, because, I mean, we had it. You know, we really did have it at one time. I'm old enough to remember when, you know, black communities was all love. I mean, for real.
That's right. That's right.
And so, I mean, these things just have to be put back in place. And I think that, you know, and I'm going to end it right here and let you move on. I don't want to take up too much time, but I definitely respect what you're doing. I definitely think these kinds of conversations are, of you know, so important. You know, I mean, I'm really fearful for my children and the world that they're growing up in. You know, now with the gates all off the books and figure out a system to combat that, to make sure that my daughter is involved in heterosexual relationships. So, I mean, these are the kinds of things I'm talking about. I'm not calling it the white man necessarily, but systems that are in place that work against our interest and what we want.
And the thing with your daughter, you know, look at the imagery that's out there now. The misogyny of women is, like, really, you know, degrading at this point. You know, all your imagery, she can't even go home. How old is your daughter?
She's 9.
Oh, she's a
baby.
Yeah,
I mean,
enjoy the music that's out here. She can't even enjoy the music out here. Who does she have even in the music world to really look to? I mean, she's left with Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne. Oh, my God.
Oh, God, please, no, not that, okay? Not that. I'm feeling the brother because I got a 7-year-old daughter myself, okay, and I'm a single father. So I'm really feeling what he's saying. You know, overall, with y'all, you know, talking about, he was saying with the systems in place, those systems are distractions. And they're put by design. They're put there by design. You know,
we have to be smart enough not to fall for it because it's been done over and over and over again. They just, it's just that with each iteration, they just take it up to a new notch. They just raise it up to a new level. But it's the same thing over and over again. It's just, okay, well, we got to find a new strategy. So let's flip it, let's remix it, and how are we going to do it for this generation?
That's right. Every generation. That's right. Mm-hmm. Every generation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it does not end, you know. And, I mean, you can't blame them for doing what they do. You know, I understand why. You know, I want to survive, too. You know, they want to survive me.
There you go.
I mean, I understand it, but I'm just saying. You know, I appreciate
when you're the minority of the planet, when you're the minority of the planet, you are the recessive gene, and you know that you could be annihilated. What are you going to do? You're going to do what you got to do by any means necessary to keep the people that can obliterate your race, you know, out and down and out. Mm. That is a fact. If I know that I and have a recessive trait, and I know that I could be obliterated. I could be obliterated by the Chinese man. I could be obliterated, but certainly I could be obliterated by the black man. If I mix with the black man, my daughter goes off with the black man, it's a wrap.
Right.
It's
and
a
you
wrap.
See the interracial thing happening. I mean, I can't tell you how many of my friends have just gone in that direction, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Kaya,
hold on,
ladies and gentlemen. Before you go on any further, because he touched on something, I want to talk about that. So don't go nowhere, brother. Hold on, brother.
We are.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a moment. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to take another caller, and then I want to come back to you, Brother Kaya, because I want to speak on, I want you to speak on what you just mentioned. Would you mind, standing by?
We're going to talk about that.
But please, since you went there. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Stand by.
All right.
My baby. What a lady. You need a long, long this your soul, you're so fine from everything that you wear. Your kind of beauty is rare, and I swear you get better looking with every year. I get your sexual peak, your full figure physique. Young girl can't compete, come cooking it with something to eat, baby. And since we in the kitchen, girl, let me get that muffin. You look better the older you get. Every chapter, getting more attractive.
Aging a factor. You're one that I got. I'm about to leave her. Baby, sitting on the bike with my sweeter.
If I could be a man, girl, you won't work for nothing. You look better, but older you get. You really need to let me in your world, girl. What a prom, girl. No cougar, you're still a kitten. Working out, girl, shut your mouth, you looking thicker. You know how to hold your liquor. Nigga, show me your ID, I get the picture. I propose and those players raise your glass. For my biblical boxes and my safety dash. Ladies, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm about to eat that dozen. You look better the older you get. I can't believe what time.
Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Tonight, we're talking about spirituality, family, and relationships. Our call-in number tonight is 424-258-9271. Again, 424-258-9271. Press 1. I know you're in the queue. My guest speaker tonight is Sister Amunette. And so far, we have had a very good discussion. The chat room is open. Feel free to leave your comments. I'll respond to them, and I'll try to read some of them over the air. We have just about a little over an hour left. I'm going to try to get everybody in. I'm noticing the phone lines is filling up, but I want to go to the callers who have been waiting, and I want to welcome Sister Kashiba to tonight's discussion. Good evening, Sister Kashiba. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, Kashiba. I'm up here, brother.
How are you, Sister? Welcome to tonight's show. Say hello to our guest speaker tonight, Sister Amunet.
Yeah, Hotep and blessed in love, Sister.
Hotep Kashiba, good to hear from you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very good. I'm doing very good.
Wonderful, wonderful. What's up?
So, Sister, do you have a question or a comment you would like to make, Sister Kashiba?
Yeah, I was listening to y'all talking about how y'all daughters and youth be palinizing after these artists. And, you know, this is the year of 2013, so everything that, you know, whatever the government put out there for them to get into or deal with, or, you know, the artists are supported by the government.
Really?
Okay. All right. So
yeah,
what made you come to that
it's called the New World Order, or the I can't pronounce the word, the Illuminati.
Are you talking about the Illuminati?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And, okay, so a lot of you're saying that some of the artists are influenced by the Illuminati?
That's why most of our youth is influenced by that, you know, because they're into, you got some of the girls looking like, what's her name? I'm trying to think of the artist where all these young girls trying to get their hair blonde and look like, what's her name?
Well, there's several
Nicki Minaj.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Nicki Minaj and them, and Beyonce.
Lil Wayne, everybody trying to palinize after them, even though they ain't getting their money, but they're palinizing after them.
She said Lil Wayne.
I got you. They call them Little Wendy. Little Wendy. Oh, no, let me stop. That's not nice.
That's what it's called, because back in my time, I'm 55. I don't mind telling my age because I lived to be 55. I'm an elder. And
God bless.
Back in my time, they didn't have none of that stuff. When we was young, we didn't patronize after no artists or nothing. We did our own thing.
Yeah. And I can say this to you, Kashiba, that a lot of the problem is, as when we get into role models and, you know, who's put out before our children and our youth to look up to, a lot of the times, all they want to do is like, what do you want to do? What do you want to be when you grow up? They ask our boys, I want to be either an MC, a rapper, or what else? An NBA player. That's what I want to do. I want to play ball, or I want to do hip-hop. So those are the only two career opportunities that they see as their reality, which is very, very sad. You know, there are more options and more opportunities. And then when you have this attitude of, well, my opportunities are limited, my options are limited, I fall into two categories, that makes me very one-dimensional instead of multifaceted, where do I go? So they don't think I want to be a lawyer. They don't want to think, they think about the NBA, but they don't think about getting their MBA, Master of Business Administration, and figuring out how to own a team, okay? They don't think outside of the box because they don't think of the options that are available to them. They don't see it. It's not tangible. It's not their reality. So when you're in the hood and, you know, you don't see very much, you don't see the lawyer, you don't see the doctor, you don't see the businessman that's doing stuff legally and the right way, so to speak. You don't see your options of becoming maybe even a politician because you don't trust politicians because politicians are corrupt to you. Nobody cares. Nobody comes back to the hood to check on me. When they go off into another world and they don't look back. They don't reach back, try to pull us up and take us with them. And that's a problem that we have as a people as well,
Once we get to a certain plateau, a lot of times we don't want to come back and reach out and do the work to bring others forward and mentor some of these young children that need to see a tangible figure that says, wow, if he made it, he did it, I can do it too. And I didn't have to be a basketball player or rapper. I have options. But if you don't think you have any options, you're not going to strive for anything. So that's the problem with a lot of our young people. Yeah. Yeah.
And one thing they need to concentrate on for us to have our own everything is this generation here and the later generation before has got to put effort forward to what? Be police chief, be policeman, or be a doctor. To have, I mean, for our own benefit, not for working for the other people, but working to get our own stuff. Because if we get our own stuff, police our own neighborhood, teach our own children about their history, a lot of them go and be teachers and learn to teach them where they come from and where they're going. I think the world will change because let them have what they want to have. Leave them alone. Stop fighting them for their stuff. Fight for our own stuff and do our own thing.
Right. And that is the formula of black nationalism. Okay? That's what that is. That's black nationalism when you have and establish your own nation. Do you now, if I ask you this question, now, if we have our own stuff, where are we going to have our own stuff? Are we going to have our own stuff within a nation? Will we be a nation within a nation? Or will we have to leave and find our own land to build our own stuff?
It's plenty right now. There's many a state that's got everything in there that nobody living in that they got for sale. If everybody pull together, stop hurting one another, want to shoot one another, and stop putting your money together and start raising money for this, you can buy one of them states and do your own thing in there. And start from there. And each state that go for sale, work on getting that one. Work on getting the next one. So, the ladies, you have a nation. You have enough space to have a nation.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. That makes sense. And, you know, our children do need that, but we need the solidarity first, and we don't have that. We don't have the solidarity within our own community. So, you know, which makes it very difficult for us to come together and do something collectively and maintain it. And when we do something collectively like that, a nation within a nation, which I could say we bore witness to even with groups like the Nuapia Nation who tried to build a nation within a nation, they were destroyed by the government. It was a but they were destroyed by the government, you know, totally obliterated. The land was bulldozed, goodbye, and the government got rid of them. So it's very hard to build a nation within a nation. It's a good concept, but no one has been successful at that as of yet. So we have yet to see that materialize. But maybe, you know, we can brainstorm and think of some things where we can have our own. We need to have our own hospitals. We need to have more of our own banks. We only have the George Washington Carver Bank. You know, why? You know, our own institution.
But you know what? In order for us to have things when you do meetings, don't do meetings on the phone, on radio things, on the internet, because all that's where the government is recording and videotaping everything you say. If you go off and want to have a meeting about what you're going to do for your people, do it in an area where there's no electronics around.
In secret. I got you. Definitely. Yeah,
do it in secret where nothing around. Not on the phone.
Yeah.
You know what?
I agree.
I'm in agreement too, Sister Kashiva. But you know, we live in the age of Big Brother's watching no matter what you're doing.
Everywhere.
But I also agree with the fact.
You're right.
Okay. I also agree with the fact that, you know what? We got to start where we live, and that's in our community. That's where we start at.
That's
in our community. Okay. And that's what we're not doing. Ladies, I want to move on because I want to. Get back to Brother Kayem, and I still have a few more callers on the line who I want to get to, and I'm grateful that they're being patient. For those who's listening and you want to call in, the number is 424-258. 9271. Press 1. I know you in the queue, and you can join in on our conversation. But right now, I want to go back to Brother Kai M. Sister Kashiba, I want to thank you for calling in. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you,
Kashiba. I'm going to put your mic on mute.
Much love to both of you.
Yes, sister.
All right,
yes,
much
sister.
Love.
But I want to go back to Brother Kai M because he was starting something, and I asked him to hold it for a second until I got back to him. Brother Kai M, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Thank you for your patience, brother.
I was just, the point I was making, and I hope none of them are listening because I don't want to, you know, offend anybody, but, you know, I was just talking about how, you know, a lot of brothers that I know, a lot of friends of mine that I grew up with have opted now to just, you know, go along with women of different, you know, races, with white women for the most part. I mean, and I still like my friends. But at the same time, I just look at it as a really defeatist attitude because it's almost like they've given up on, you know, having black pride or just being proud, you know, of who they are and wanting that to continue, you know. So they, in the name of survival, I guess they're looking at it like that or fear or I really don't know, you know, what would cause somebody to do that.
What about the argument of you can't tell a man or woman who to love?
Yeah, well, I wonder if that's what it is. You know, I mean, and that's a big question. What is love? I mean, the sister was bringing up some really good points. You know, it's not that, you know, fuzzy feeling. I think she put it as some great points. It's not really that. You know, I mean, you got to have a vision, you know, you got to have something in mind that you are, you know, that you're working towards that, you know, people can involve themselves in and, you know, work towards. I mean, so I don't know that it's that kind of love. I think they're just trying to, you know, be a part of something. They just don't want to, nobody wants to be a part of the losing race. And we are on the bottom, you know, in the world. Nobody wants to identify with being black.
Right, and I've heard that said several times. Nobody wants to be black. You know, even you got, you know, black Latinos that don't want to be black. You know what I mean?
Right.
And do anything. I speak Spanish, so I'm different from you. No, you a Negro that speaks Spanish because you were enslaved just like I was and dropped off to the Caribbean where it was a Spanish-speaking nation, and you learned how to speak Spanish, but you know, where I'm Dominicano. What is a Dominican? Dominican is not a race. Dominican is a nationality. What is your race? You know, I'm Puerto Ricano. What is a Puerto Rican? A Puerto Rican is a Taino, sometimes mixed with European. Sometimes a Puerto Rican is a European. And sometimes a Puerto Rican is a Taino, a European, and a black person. And sometimes they're just straight black. So you're not, that's a nationality. That's not a race. So, you know, you get into all of that. But I want to just say this, and you had mentioned two things. What is it? With love, what is love? What's lacking? What's lacking is substance. People don't want the substance. They want the fluff, but they don't want the substance of love.
That's right.
They don't want to take the time.
And that's not love.
No. No, it's not. They don't want to take the time to establish and lay the cement for a firm foundation for love to flourish and grow. That's the problem. Because our definition of love is the failing. Once again, society, quick, easy, fast, feeling. He made me feel good. She made me feel good. I felt tingly. I got so stimulated. We're in the information age, like I said before, everything is stimulation, constant. We got the HDTV. We got my screens in here. We got a big, huge screen, MP3, constantly, microwave, please put it in, take it out, let's go. Everything is instant, everything is quick, everything is titillating, sensationalized, my feelings, my senses, my eyes, my ears, my taste buds, and if that's not popping, then it ain't love. And that's
I'm going to take another call, lady. I'm going to take a call, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a gentleman who he's a scholar and a friend, also a mentor. And I'm quite sure he's been listening. He's coming out of the West Coast. Brother Kayan, where are you calling from? I meant to ask you that.
Oh, I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Out of Philly. Okay, don't go anywhere. Stand by. I'm going to mute your mic for a second, and then I'll bring you back. But I want to welcome Brother Doc to tonight's show. Doc, good evening. Are you there?
Hey, good evening, brother. How you doing?
All right, Doc. Say hello to our guest speaker tonight, Sister Amunet.
Hey, good evening, Sister Amunet. Very pleased to listen to you this evening.
Likewise. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, I'm honored.
Yes, I'm honored too.
So, Doc, I know you've been listening. I know you probably got a comment or a question. So, you know, let it flow.
I don't know what to say. A couple things I'd like to say. First of all, I don't get hung up in the language because I think it's hung us up for 400 years. The reason that I came on tonight was you said some things that stirred Kay and I that makes sense for us in our lives that we try to live and model for us that get beyond all the words that I've heard so far. I came on late. We're working with our daughter. And for all of the jargon that I've heard tonight, there's a couple things I'd like, from our perspective, just put a little bit of our twist on it so that people will know where I'm coming from as a family member. And our family has gotten smaller because people in our tribe have gone on to the other side, but they're still with us. And that is, there's only one race, and it's called human. There aren't different races. So we have to clear up our language. As long as we keep using the terms different races, we are going to continue to allow systems to separate us.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we still continue to function in terms of separate systems, we're going to be in trouble. And I'm going to use the term systems because for me at this point in my life, I like the term systems because it allows me to look at things in a broader perspective. One of the things for me, I've got to personalize it, getting out of this color thing. If you go on my Facebook page, my name is Edgar J. Scott, PhD. You can look on that thing and see that I'm very, very dark in hue. And you can look at my wife, and she doesn't look like me. And you can't judge the book by the color. And so when you start trying to judge the book by the cover, you can really jump off and jump into something that you really don't know what's underneath. And so you have to be really careful when you start jumping off and making judgments about folks from the look of the outward cover. And so when you have this title, Spirituality, Family, and Relationships, that was a very, very interesting title. Because when it comes to this color thing, now I'll get back into the color thing for myself. I grew up in Ohio, a farm kid, and my parents and my grandparents taught me a lot about this thing, about spirituality and color, because they taught me a lot about where I came from, and I came from the motherland. So I've always known about where I came from, and I've always been about very proud about where I came from. And I knew a lot about this book that we call here in America the Bible, but I also knew about those other books that other folks wrote that looked like me. So the Bible is one of the books that I learned about. So I didn't take the Bible as the only book that I read about. So when people tried to lay on me that this was the only book, I never bought into that. So people looked at me and saying, well, there's something wrong with me. I never bought into that either. So I've always bought into this thing called spirituality.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple things I'd like to share. I am a spiritual being having a human experience.
Experience, yes, you are. That is a fact. I agree. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to being a human being having a spiritual experience. And I think most of us go through life thinking that we're having this human experience, and we've got this thing all twisted. And so when you get it all twisted, you get hung up in this thing called color.
Yes.
And if you keep continuing to get hung up in this thing called color, you can really get lost and not know who you are. And so when I met my wife, one of the things that happened was she told me that I was a racist. And at the time, she nailed it, because I really was. And I had black skin, and I didn't like people that didn't have black skin. And I hadn't dealt with that issue. But it was pretty covered, because I didn't let anybody know that. But she nailed
it. Can I ask you a question? Is your wife Caucasian, or what is she?
We don't use those terms.
Is she of European descent from that region of the planet? Not that it matters to me, because I'm totally where you are. So go ahead.
My wife is part Black Russian, German, European. She's got red hair and green eyes.
Okay, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. And the thing is that I wanted to just interject, if I may, I'm with you 1,000% on that, okay? I'm not a separatist. I know the sister Kashiba had called in and talked about it, and I was talking about how that's Black nationalism. I tell everybody, I'm not a Black nationalist. I don't want to separate from anybody. I'm pretty happy. I was raised in a multicultural community. I went to multicultural schools. I did have the Black experience with all Black schools, but I currently live in a diverse area. That's what I do. That's who I am. I'm pro-Black. I'm pro-me, but that doesn't make me anti-somebody else. And I also had this discussion with somebody else on Facebook today, the same discussion that you're bringing up right now, which is, she was a Pan-Africanist, and she wants to go back to the motherland because she thinks that that's the answer, and that may be the answer for her, and that's beautiful, but that's not the answer for me necessarily, because when I said to her, I said, what you fail to realize, my sister, is that you are a cosmic being. You are a spiritual being first. We have something in a Thoracet society, which is a spiritual group that I study with, and it is called, it's a saying, and the saying is Nuk A Niter, which is I am a divine being. Okay? And that is first and foremost. Right. Before I'm Black, I told the sister today, before I'm Black, I am a divine being. And I think, like, what you're trying to get at is that we miss out on many of the blessings with other beings on this planet because we have blinders on, about color and concepts. And like you said earlier, and I was saying the same thing to our brother, that sometimes we have to watch our language and what we say. And I say this every day on my Facebook page. Stop using certain language, people, because the language is what's oppressing us. It's the thought process that leads to the linguistic chamber where you're speaking things and you're oppressing yourself and you're downpressing yourself. And I have an oppressor and I have a slave master and I'm being held back. And here we go. And the terms that we use are what hold us in a certain space. And those racial terms that you were talking about, and I told the sister this too, I said that was created by the eugenics. All right. And the eugenicists created little boxes and categories for each person from every region of every color so they could basically reinforce their little supremacist thoughts and categorize all out of their own psychosis, of course, based on fear of being annihilated.
Yeah.
European geneticists, eugenics, European geneticists, eugenics. And that's
yeah.
what happened. So that's why we go around and we start blaming people because we get caught up in the trap, not realizing that we're spiritual beings who can transcend certain realms on the material plane that hold us back. So, brother,
yeah.
I'm with you. Dr. Edgar, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
listening.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, what happened for me was my wife sent me back to Africa for a naming
Wonderful.
Ceremony. Because I was so angry. And she said, part of the reason that you're so angry, and she says, any person that looks like you that's in America, and particularly a male, she said, but females too, but in particularly a male,
mm-hmm.
She said she was the first person on this planet because she believed that she was sent here to guide me, to help guide me to who and where I was supposed to be. I call my wife woo-woo because she believes in lots of things. And at the time that I met her, I said, are you a witch? And she said, well, probably from your perspective. She said, but I'm one of the good witches, so, you know, get
That's
used
right.
to it. Yeah.
Well, the word witch just means wise woman. That's all witches. A witch is a wise woman when you break down the word witch. It's a wise woman. So you just called her, you know, she's a wise woman. That's it.
Yeah, and so she said she does a lot of stuff with astronomy and stuff and math, and
mm-hmm.
just a math
mm-hmm.
wizard. And,
mm-hmm.
and so when she sent me back, I went back for a naming ceremony, and the closer I got back to Africa, there were some spiritual things that happened. And I'm not an emotional person. I wasn't at the time. But
mm-hmm.
got real spiritual, and things started
mm-hmm.
happening that blew me away, and
mm-hmm.
I couldn't explain it. It got out of the realm of explanation, and I, you know, I don't drink and all that other stuff, and don't do drugs, and
right.
but it was happening. You couldn't deny it, and it was like,
right.
oh my God, what's happening? And she said, what did I tell you? And so I went
mm-hmm.
over. Had the naming ceremony, and the name that they gave me was like Chalo Muthama Ilele, which means a man chosen by God to bring continents together. And,
wow.
And it's like, I said, how do you know that? How do you come up with that? They said, you were supposed, the reason that you catch so much flack in where you're at, that you were sent here to bring continents together. You were sent here to bring people together. And the reason that a lot of people don't like you on these different colors is because you're before your time. But they will eventually come together because of you. The reason you have so much power in Africa, because they understand. And I went there and did some presentations between these two warring tribes, and they came together. And it says, you eventually will have the same effect in America. And I came back, and I had changed. I came back, and I had changed. Something happened. I was very emotional.
Yeah.
When I met Tony, Kay and I met him over the phone. He was immediately a family member. Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen in the universe for a reason. You are here for a season.
Yeah.
And so it was a matter of I lost color when I went there. Color no longer means a thing to me. It doesn't mean anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
It means nothing. And when I understood it, I understood that we who are of darker hue are closest to that tree. We look closer to the tree. But when we're looking at folks that have blonde hair and blue eyes and lighter hue, we just tell them that they're brothers and sisters. They say, you us. And I call people brothers and sisters, and they look at me, and I call them Africans. And when I did that at a presentation when I first got back to Africa with 300 folks that didn't look like me, they were in tears. They said, Dr. Scott, you really believe this? I said, yeah, you Africans, you just don't know it. It's because people didn't teach you, and I'm teaching you now that you are me. You are a representation of me. You just don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I find
a lot of them,
that
they have trouble with that. Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing about it. I find that I have a tougher time. It's a tougher sale to folks that look like me than it is to folks that don't look like me.
Hmm.
Well, talking about sale, hold on a second here.
If I can just interject really quick on the conclusion to that, really quick.
Go ahead,
it's
real
so
fast,
funny
because
that
the lines are full, and I want to make sure
people
get it.
I'm coming. The fact that you said I'm going to bring continents together, that was another part of that same conversation that I had with that sister that I was telling you about. Because, and it was today, and I said, you guys don't know about the origin of Pangea. And you know Pangea. I know you do, Dr. Scott. I already know. Pangea was when all the continents were once all together. Okay?
That's
so
right.
So when people say, well, I'm going back to the motherland, well, guess what? The whole planet was the motherland at one time.
Thank you very much. Let's hook up on Facebook, and then we'll get on the phone, because you and I, we got to do something.
Very good.
I need to move on to the next caller. Okay, very good.
All right.
The brother has been holding on. I want to thank him for holding on. I want to bring him in. Don't go anywhere, Doc. I'm going to mute your mic for a moment, but I want to bring this brother in, and that's brother Jerusalem.
Okay.
Good evening, brother. Are you there? Brother Jerusalem.
Hotel, family, how's everybody?
Good evening. Say hello to our guest speaker tonight, Sister Aminette.
Hotel, Sister Aminette, how are you?
Hey, Hotel, I'm quite well. And yourself, Brother Jerusalem?
I'm doing fine. My name is Brother Jeru Usman.
Jeru Usman. I got it.
Okay. I couldn't help but to, listen at the various inputs on this subject tonight. I was going to call pertaining to specifically the black family. And I know color really is not supposed to have certain barriers, but it does. And when we exclude this from the equation, we sometimes put ourselves at a disadvantage. Because we are the ones that lack from self-identity. Like Dr. Claude Anderson, he has a book, Power Economics. And he states today, we as black people, okay, because we can't go mingle ourselves with other people, we own the same thing now as we did back in 1860 when we were slaves. And there's no, we can't get out of that. That black people were the ones that went through the horrific tragedy and harms of slavery, and we still carry on the remnants of that. So I think even by accepting the culture of others, not everybody is, has that right to their opinion, but I just can't help but to think there's so much stuff, even when we look at Trayvon Martin. I have never, ever seen this is like a spectacle of the black man.
Mm-hmm.
Even when, when we say Michael Vick, I saw somebody post on Facebook, well, Michael Vick went to jail for 23 months for knowing people that fought dogs and George Zimmerman. So there's a reality. So even at looking at looking through the eye of melanin, which we should be, okay, we should be understanding our situation. And the more that we do adhere and carry on, I feel like we only lose ourselves in some culture that wants us to kind of be free and not to, because we are the only culture, like Brother Dr. Ashra Kwesi brings this up. You look at Koreans, they have Korean town. China has Chinatown. Everybody has a town. Everybody can associate themselves through their center. And this is righteous inside the nature under God, because everything does have a nature. Everything comes together as one, but everything has a nature. You can't have a zebra trying to run and do what a giraffe does, because that's not his nature. Okay,
that's
so
right.
even with getting back into the metuneta, the language of God, we have to accept who we are. And when you all were speaking about love and spirituality earlier, that made me want to leap out and just say, my eye, because even with the what you saying, Sister your name Aminette, I'm pretty sure you know the validity of and you said something about grounding your family on the foundation.
Right.
And that should be the foundation which all things should be implemented, which all things should be structured and grow. But there are a lot of other cultural people that do want us to lose ourselves while we don't know how to eat, while we still we don't know how to be self-sufficient. I see plenty of white guys that know how to, you know, grow their own stuff, but we should know the same thing. We should be implementing these structures, even as a humanitarian approach. If everything is just so human, and the doctor was right, everything does come from the black melanated carbon element. Everything in the world comes from that. Okay, even we go beyond. We are in space, so that's something that you can't really put a time. You can't put a name. It's not a color. It's deeper than that. That
right.
All colors come from that. But even with accepting that, I think we accept our lineage. We accept the fact that we've gone through slavery. We accept the fact that we built the pyramids in Egypt and Kemet, shall I say. We accept the fact that there are people that want us dead, because we do have certain abilities to grow and sustain within the sun. We have certain, and we have an heir to the sun where, us being melanated, we go out there and we can feed off the sun. Not everybody can do this. This is one thing we should make as a proven point why we trying to make everybody the same, because everybody is not the same. Everybody can't do the same. We are all within the all, but you know, we all have different natures. And that's what definitely takes me back to the Netel. And you know, I won't talk too much, but basically, establishing truth, justice, order, balance, reciprocity, those things that are lawful within inside the lives of ourselves, within inside the lives of our communities, that right there is enough when we're speaking about black nationalism and we're talking about it. I'm not really for all the pro-black, because you have a lot of people that are black that have an ego and think that, oh, yeah, we just run everything because we're black. That's not the case either.
Right.
And it's because we have a lineage that only we can tap into when we open that eye and we start to see. But there are a lot of people that want us to close that eye or want that eye to be diminished because for whatever reason. And at the end of the day, we are the children that still go out here and kill each other. We are the ones, like even Trayvon Martin, I've never saw any dead body get plastered on TV. And Trayvon's dead body was plastered on the TV. Don't you know they took his body for the actual picture when he died? They took his body and they put it on the cross with some Skittles and the Arizona iced tea. So even that's a mockery of us. And even I take more more personal offense to that because I'm a black man. And I know right there they have tried to kill me, and they are definitely still trying to kill the black man, the African melanated man. When the color would be definitely important when we're speaking about nature on different things and different beings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On that note, ladies and hold on, sister, before you do, okay, I know you got a comment, and yes, it is welcome, but I'm going to take a break right after your comment, and then we're going to go behind the wall. So what? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was taking it in with what he was saying, and it's true, you know. It can't be omitted. I don't think that we need to omit and obliterate and neutralize ourselves and act like, you know, we're not black and like we don't have a certain, like you were talking about, the nature of a person. And I think what you're trying to say is basically, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we should not celebrate ourselves. We need to celebrate who we are. We need to celebrate our achievements, and we need to be cognizant of the things that are in place systematically still that do try to keep us in a certain position, hold us back, if you will, and have a balanced view, a balanced perspective within Mayotte on our reality and our existence in terms of balancing the human side of what we go through as a people, our journey, our plight, what we've accomplished, and also acknowledging that we are spiritual beings as well. And, yes, we do have the power to transcend certain things, and that's the gist of what I got from what you were saying, just to reiterate what you were saying. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am, that is absolutely right. And not saying that we can't share this space with other people, but, like, we have given respect to a white Santa Claus. We have given respect to a white Jesus. But can we say if the shoe was on the other foot, or if we had a melanated black Jesus with everybody else that we want to be a part of, would they be a part of us? You understand?
Right.
So this is a reality. I understand as long as Jesus is white and long as we have that European concept of a white Jesus, then everything is okay. But then when we start going away from that to what is truth, because we know the essence of God lies inside the melanated, and I'm a light-skinned brother. The essence of God lies within the deep melanated black mother and the deeply melanated father. And, you know, that's just it. And I think by going anywhere else, we're kind of losing ourselves and we're losing our identity to a certain degree. And, you know, not with being hateful for anybody's culture, because we should be able to respect each other's tribe. That would be Indian, that would be whoever. We should be able to respect each other, but at the same time, we need the respect as well. And even over here in America, even looking at the Trayvon Martin case, the Paula Deen thing, it's just showing that they spit in the faces of African melanated people. So it's like
just to interject quickly, if I may, a lot of that, what you're seeing with this Trayvon and Paula Deen thing simultaneously being blasted in the media, a lot of that is distraction tactics, and we got to be aware of that. Why is it coming out right now? It's a distraction, but something else is happening, and we have to find out what that is.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I mean, it's flowing, and it is flowing nicely. We're going to take a small break. We're going to come back. I got a brother on the line. He's from behind the wall. He's been on the line for quite some time. I got to get him in. But before we take a break, I want to ask Brother Jerusalem, where are you from? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from South Carolina, my brother.
Hey, what part?
All right. Carolina's up in here. Thank you for calling in. Don't go nowhere. I'm going to put your mute on mic. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
They all stood up and believed in something. Now look at them today. Now look at where we're at today. And I kind of just feel like our definition. We failed. Our generation has failed. You know, to live up to what we're supposed to be.
Thank you. about me, Father, it's about the truth. Can we stop all of this mystic too? You're the teacher and you conduct the classes. Give me the game so I can give it to the masses. Don't y'all see everything's not okay? Living in the past.
Lord, as my witness, I look to you for answers. Ain't no way that we can fix this. It's like a plague running wild through the streets. FBI, genocide, when we all ate the beef. Now who's really to blame? For the reason why pops is gone, mom's struggling and I join the gang. Media flashing, glorifying the lie. Neutralizing the problem is their way of saying blacks die. Now figure the time on their hands. When they considered work, draw cartoons and send fake faxes to recommend me to smash you cause you plotting on me. They posing as pigs, but them cowards ain't doing nothing but causing riots in the streets. I challenge you to see a mountain we can beat. And getting the truth in every line to make you think before you speak. And change the way the game go. Cause this ain't what X-King, Bunchy, and Pratt stand for. Believe that.
Hey God, I know you. Help me express my feelings. Not about me, Father, it's about the children. Can we stop this senseless tears? You're the teacher, you conduct the classes. Give me the game so I can give it to the masters. Can't you see everything's not okay? Living in the last day.
Lawson boys is in the house. And what about the businessmen? They in the house. The gladiators and the bishops is in the house. If the spook hunters come, we'll be running them out. Nowadays, you probably get a gun in your mouth. These young gunners be thugging it out. Don't even know what crippling blood is about. Sagging, rag hanging, pig and ponytail swinging, and don't know the first thing about banging. See, we the bastard children of the Black Panther Party. Before the red and the blue, it was the color of your body. The black and the white, and it's cracking on sight. Couldn't even go to Inglewood without having to fight. Brothers had to unite, cause the color of my skin wasn't men. No LeBron, no Tiger Woods, but a bunch of M&Ms. But once they all moved and the dope came in, this 187, let the games begin.
On the phone with G-Bone, hollering what's going on. Los Angeles is scandalous, but I call it home. These pigs try to twist and put me back in the ditch. Real G, plead the fifth, man, my life is a bitch. I used to want to be the Black Panther. I didn't know why until I seen that movie Bastards. This is the movement, and this is just another chapter. Talking to the youth, cause Big Snoop Dogg is the pastor. Open your mind and roll with me, cause I'm giving you game. You gotta try to make a change if you wanna have a few things. Now all that killing one another, when you know that fool mother went to school with his brother, real smooth undercover. CIA, FBI, DEA, CIA, it's all the same thing. It's like when they look at us, they say we all in the gang. Ain't nothing changed.
Hey God, I know you listen. Help me express my feelings. Not about me, Father, it's about the children. Can we stop all of the senseless killing? You're the teacher, you conduct the class. Give me the game so I can give it to the masses. Can't you see everything not okay?
Enough is Enough, Save Our Children Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Tony Nix. Welcome back. Tonight we're talking about spirituality, family, and relationships. Our guest speaker tonight is Sister Amunet, and we have strayed a little off topic, but I got to tell you, it's all good anyway, because I feel like we're talking about family, we're talking about spirituality, and there's some relationships with one another as a people, as a culture, learning to live and accept one another for our color, cultures, beliefs. I think that all fits in there. You know, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to go to a brother who's been on the line for quite some time. He's from behind the wall, so please join me in welcoming Brother Hess. Good evening, Brother Hess. How you there?
Peace and blessings, brother. Good brother. How you doing?
Peace and blessings, man, and thank you for being patient. I know you've been on the line for quite some time. Welcome to tonight's discussion. Say hello to Sister Amunet.
Greetings, Sister Amina. How you doing, sister?
I'm quite well. And yourself?
I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you so much for asking.
Amen.
Well, with that being said, you know, I listened to everything that was said thus far, and, you know, it really touched me how it came.
Hold on, brother. Before you go on, brother, we only have maybe a little over 15 minutes of live on the air. After that, we will be taping. So let me just make this quick announcement. If you're listening and you want to call in, you have about 17 minutes to call in and be part of tonight's discussion. Once it's 10 o'clock, you will not be able to call in. We still may be on, but we will be taping. Our call-in number again is 424-258-9271. Go ahead, Brother Hess. I'm sorry.
No problem at all, Big Brother. Thank you so much for that announcement. I also want to be able to just thank, you know, both of you for being able to set the platform, you know, in such a way because, you know, being able to watch that pre-show last night in which the sister gave the, you know, the pre-interview, you know, I really enjoyed it, and then it took me to where she was able to establish an understanding inside of a car that she had gave another viewing of, you know, her aspect of understanding. And basically, you know, what I'm getting from tonight's show is an understanding of, you know, different people's views and ideologies based on, you know, what is the cause of a lot of what's going on with themselves, you know, and that's something that's very big, you know, because when she spoke about, you know, relationships, you know, on those videos, the first thing that I thought about was the fact that, you know, where's the love? They say love is charity, you know, and I don't see that in today's relationships. You know, the relationships that I've had, you know, with different sisters, you know, I've seen where, yes, finances had a big issue in it, but I think one of the biggest things that was missing was the empathy. You know, I wasn't willing to put this sister's shoes on and see, you know, just what it was like to walk a mile in her shoes, what led her to be, you know, so antisocial when it comes to trusting men. You know, where is her ability to be able to, you know, begin to start establishing a relationship with me, you know, and then I had to look at my own ability to be able to do the same thing for her. You know, coming into a relationship, it's about serving. You know, that's one of the biggest things, you know, from biblical standpoints and spirituality standpoints. You know, it's about serving our mates. You know, how can I, you know, basically complement her life? You know, how can she complement mine? You know, how do our vision coincide? How do we begin to start taking, you know, both of our histories and beginning to build a future based on what it is that we want to see come about, to leave the legacy behind that we wish to be able to, you know, smile upon in our last days? And so, you know, mm-hmm. I would like to just ask the sister to give us a few viewpoints on, you know, what is it that can begin to strengthen our ability to establish relationships based on, you know, selflessness instead of so much selfishness, if I may.
Yeah. All right, and that's a great question, and I'm so glad that you asked that question. Now, I get it that your spiritual path and journey is, you're Christian, right?
No, ma'am, I was raised mm-hmm. inside of the church, but today I choose to take on a spiritual standpoint. Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha. I gotcha. Okay. Because you've said blessed and highly favored, and I got a little church from you, which is really, really cool. And I was going to go in there. I'll still go there because that may be what some people are familiar with. If we're going to look at marriage in the tradition of Christianity, we know that, you know, if you're going to go back to the Bible, if you want to go back to the book, you know, that a lot of us were raised on, you know, it says that man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. All right? A lot of the time when people are striving and trying to become that one flesh, the principle is true. And in spite of where the book came from, the principle is still true. We're supposed to become one flesh. But we bring all the baggage, and a lot of people don't know how to leave their mother and father, and the thoughts and the traditions and the input and the influence of family chatter, other drama, and just focus solely on getting into who we're supposed to be cleaving to as one flesh, all right? And that's where the substance is lacking. So a lot of the time we're joining with people and we really don't know them. Like you said, walking through their steps, you know, walking a mile in her shoes and understanding, well, how does she come to have these thought processes about relationships, about men, where's the trust factor, where's the mistrust coming from, what was her story to bring her to this place where she's not able to cleave to me and become one flesh? What's in between? What's blocking us from really joining together and becoming that one unit that we're supposed to be in terms of a divine connection? And a lot of times people go in, and whether they seek help through counseling, whether it be pastoral counseling, whether it be spiritual counseling or tradition westernized counseling, whatever method that they may use, you have to sometimes uncover these things through conversation. If she's not open for conversation, then you might have to go into premarital counseling, which a lot of people don't do. I know a lot of churches that do that, and I knew one church that did it where you had to have premarital counseling for at least 6 months prior to walking down the aisle with a person. Which I think is wonderful. Okay? Because now we get it all out. We're going to get it all out before you walk down the aisle so we can know that the slate is clean. We don't have any secrets. There's nothing that we left out. Let's get it out now. So it's not crazy and you're not surprised and in shock when you go into the marriage and say, oh, my God, I didn't know that. I didn't know she was molested as a child by three different uncles. You know, those types of things. I didn't know he was molested. You know, I didn't know that he had homosexual tendencies. Oops. You know, these are the deep things that come out sometimes that we don't want to talk about, you know, as to why we function the way that we function. You know, well, why is he a womanizer? Maybe he's trying to cover up something. You know, what did he see growing up? Was that his norm? Was it the norm for him to be a womanizer? Was his father a womanizer? Was that his model? Was the mother passive? Was the mother abused? So therefore, is he going to abuse me? Does he have abusive tendencies? Because that was his norm. And we don't know what's not normal until we take a step and get outside of our own fishbowl tank, which is very small, and see how other family dynamics work and become familiarized with what should be normal. Because a lot of times we're raised in something and we think it's normal, and it's not. It's not the standard of what normal should be. And then it trickles over to our children, and it becomes a never-ending cycle. And guess what? We never become one flesh because so many barriers were in the way that we didn't discuss prior to trying to come together in a union.
You know, sister, you know, I thank you for shedding light on that because, you know, there's something that I'm looking at myself, you know, while being incarcerated right now. You know, I've had numerous women strive to build relationships with myself, but, you know, I've always declined based on the fact that I have to build a relationship with myself in order to be able to, you know, then have something to actually, you know, offer to a sister, you know. And, you know, in doing that, one thing that I'm beginning to learn is that I have manifested insecurities, you know, the longing and the needs that came along with what my mother didn't give and what I began to obsess wanting, you know, from growing up through adolescent stages. And, you know, it's starting to really come upon me, you know, some of the brothers was blaming a lot of people outside of our race and ethnicity, you know, and something that I can't blame. I can't blame anyone else for something that I allowed to manifest itself and become so deeply rooted inside of my mind, my spirit, you know, clogging my spirit up, you understand? And that's what I'm striving to cleanse out right now is to, you know, understand what my problem is, identify those issues, you know, and find someone that I can begin to speak to them about who has overcome these same issues. And it doesn't always take, like you said, a counselor. If you don't like counseling, how about the pastor or the imam at the mosque or, you know, that
that's
elder in the community? You know, there are people who overcome our issues, you know, outside of just, you know, who we would traditionally go to seek advice. But I just wanted to get some understanding from you and some clarity from you real quick. What are your suggestions if we don't feel comfortable going to counselors, if we don't feel comfortable going to the pastor and giving them our business and we don't want to pay, you know, for psychological professionalism, you know, what are some other options and areas of expertise we may be able to gravitate toward?
And I will say this. You have to – sometimes a lot of people just go the self-help route. If you're a reader and you're an avid reader and you're willing to be open and you have insight into yourself like you sound like you do, you know, read. You can journal your own thoughts. Get it out by journaling, writing, you know, being, you know, in you have a lot of time to get it all out. Journal. Start a journal if you're a writer. You know, a lot of people are not ready to express themselves. A lot of people are not ready to be insightful and go within. It's a very painful process, but it sounds like you're there. You know, it sounds like you're already there, that you have a lot of insight into yourself that you've dug into yourself, that you've analyzed it for yourself, where the root causes of your issues and idiosyncrasies come from, which is fine, and I think it's completely healthy on your part. So, you know, when that time comes, you would be well prepared because at least you have awareness. You know, we pity and we say woe to those that aren't even aware because knowing is half the battle, right?
Right. You know, before yielding the floor to my big brother Tony, you know, I just got one more piece that I would really love for you to be able to share just very accurate, brief, and concisely upon, and that's that relationships are built on the foundation of relating to one another. And how can we begin to strive to find areas that we relate upon instead of looking for, you know, our own selfish desires and wants and needs to be met? How can we begin to start sacrificing what we want and begin to indulge more in finding a habit of, you know, wanting to know more about our mate, wanting to be able to actually fulfill some of their desires and beginning to actually, you know, emulate what it is to be a mate as one, as you said, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Open communication,
hold on,
as you know.
Excuse me, sister, before you answer, I want you to answer what he's saying, but I just need to remind you and Brother Hess that we have several other callers still waiting to be heard, so please be as brief as you can. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would say having just an open line of communication and providing a comfortable environment for one to be transparent and open, and once you've done that, and trust. You do that by trust. If you don't have the trust factor, there's no communication, there's no openness, there's no transparency if trust is not the foundation of the relationship. If there's no trust, then you let's say you don't provide a judgment-free environment where your mate or partner will not feel judged. If they're going to feel judged, then they're not going to be transparent. You know, so you have to create a safe, welcoming, warm environment that's open to communication without any judgment, without any criticism. So therefore, the two of you can begin to communicate and find out those areas that need to be addressed and hopefully get to a place of healing by communicating and having that openness and trust. So that's what I would say. Trust is the foundation. Communication is the key.
I thank you so much, and I thank you too, Big Brother Tony, man, and I'll be looking forward to speaking to you again soon. God bless y'all. Have a good night.
God bless you too,
Brother Heston. Thank you again. Our next caller is a lady. She's a friend of mine. We chat with one another on the social network. Her name is Sister Dina. Welcome her to the show. Good evening, Sister Dina. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you guys doing this evening?
Oh, we're doing great. Say hello to our guest speaker, Sister Amy.
Sister Amy, man, how are you doing?
Quite fine, Sister Dina. Good to hear from you tonight.
Wonderful, wonderful. I was kind of crossed up about the time, and I'm coming in a little late, so I didn't get a chance to get the benefit of the whole entire show, but the parts that I have heard were very inspiring and interesting. And I really don't have a whole lot to add to the conversation except for regarding relationships. I personally think that in order for us to have successful relationships, first of all, we have to have a real understanding of what we were taught about relationships and be real about that because a lot of our views as far as a man or a woman is concerned will be based on what it was that we saw as children.
Right, and we did talk about that earlier, definitely. Yes, go ahead. Please, elaborate.
But if we don't be real, because a lot of times, because of our loyalty to our family and how we were taught being sincere and real about what we saw, most times is not allowed because to do that is to somehow or another go against the family, which is not true.
Right.
And our being loyal to that in that way, it is causing a serious dysfunction within our community.
Yeah.
It does not mean that you don't love grandma. It does not mean that you don't love dad or mom when you be real about the fact that they were dysfunctional.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. I love it.
What it does do for you is it frees you from continuing the pattern and the dysfunctional pattern of what they were doing. It does not mean that you don't love them. And I say that because in my family, I deeply love, respect my dad a great deal, although he was far from being perfect. But in spite of his imperfections, he was my father, and therefore his position alone deserves my respect, okay? The fact that he did stay and do what he thought was his best, to the best of his ability, that alone is deserving of my respect, okay?
Right.
But perfection he was not, because he beat both my mother and I, okay? I have to be real about that, okay? But at the same time, I have to be real about the fact that my mother was selfish, because in her staying, in spite of the fact that she was sacrificing her children to be with him, that was a selfish act. That was a very selfish act. For years, it was easier for me to look at her as the poor victim and him as the brute, okay? But what that did was that kept me constantly putting myself in unhealthy relationships.
Right.
What I had to do was to be real about what was happening in my family with my aunts, uncles, cousins, whomever it was. And in doing that, it does not mean I don't love my family. What it means is that I am real about what I saw, and then it gives me a good opportunity to make good choices. Is that what I want to repeat? If it is, then go the same way. If it's not, I need to deviate. I need to try something different, do something different, because what they were doing didn't work.
That's right.
So that's what I would add to the relationship. You know, now as far as our spirituality is concerned, I was raised, I was not allowed to go to church. I was not allowed to go to church. My father told me that he felt that everything that I needed to know about God, I could learn at home. Okay? So I was given a Bible, and I was self-taught and taught by my parents until I was around 14 or 15. And at that point, I started sneaking and going to church. Okay?
Okay.
Wow.
What that for me was, it taught me to know the word of God for myself. I can listen to quote scriptures. That I forever burned into my memory, okay? And it gave me a whole different approach to God, in that it does not matter to me what you call God, because I realize that I too have several names, but I'm the same person. I don't trip on a name, okay? I also understand that my choosing to stand or your choosing to kneel is just our idea of how we want to worship. And it has no bearing on who or what God is. So even that don't bother me.
Gotcha.
So now I understand how I see God has nothing to do per se with religion, and which to me is just a method of how you choose to worship and serve God. How I see God is based on the character of a human being. Because if you go to church every Sunday and you are one of the pillars of the church, but it's in your heart and in your actions, it is corrupt and non-productive and anti-love, then you know what? It matters not what you call God or what relationship you claim you have with them, because I am looking at your actions, not what you say you worship. So therefore, we as a people, as long as it's like gangbanging, it's always like gangbanging. If you don't be a part of my set, I can't roll with you. And
that's
crazy.
And that's insanity.
It's keeping us divided. Because it's keeping us divided. And we'll never, ever, ever become the nation or the people that we can be, as long as we're finding reasons to not hang out with one another.
Exactly.
The bottom line is, what we should be getting at is love. That's what real spirituality is.
That's the love.
About.
That's it. That's the real spirituality. Girl, you just read my mind. That is exactly what it is. That's it.
You notice in life, even with a plant, you can take two plants, and one you can water, talk to, love, make sure it's getting sunshine, and that plant will flourish.
You can check another plant, the exact same plant, put it in the shade, give it just a very little light, treat it as if you care less whether it lives or dies, and it will die, or at least it will not flourish. That's because it is not getting love.
That's right. That's right.
What we're lacking is love. You know, and it's so sad because we're being taught, we're trading sensuality for love. And it has nothing to do, one and the same, it has nothing to do with, it's not the same thing. Sex is not love, but unfortunately, because of how sex feels to us, we'll settle for that. We can't get the real thing. And that's insanity.
And that's what people have to ask themselves. They have to ask themselves, well, what do you want? Do you want a sexual relationship? Do you want love? Do you want what's real? Or do you want what's tainted? What do you want?
Period. Period. And until we get to that, I mean, it's a losing battle. I would just say, this is my last thing I have to say. We have to decide to not want to be a statistic. I've been on my own since I was 14. I raised two children by myself. Okay?
Wow.
And I put myself through college. I put my kids through school. And we never lived in no, oh, my God, I hope nobody visits me place. I mean, we always had the best because I made sure I worked to get the best. But
that's right.
How I was able to do that was I refused to be a statistic. I knew what I was supposed to have become based on what society said. Mm-hmm. And everything that they said that I was supposed to do, I deliberately made sure that I educated my children on it, and I
that's
made sure
right.
that I was aware of it. And I went the other way. Okay? You have to make a decision, period, point blank, again, going back to what I said about family. You look at it, you be real about it, and then you make a decision. Is that what I want to do? Is that what I want to be? And if you don't want to be something, I'm telling you, the only way that they can force it on you is death.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as we're not victims. What we are willing participants that got caught, and as a result of getting caught, then we scream foul. Hell to the no. It don't work like that.
Right. It does.
No, it don't.
And it's time
no,
to get over
no,
it. And
no,
it's time
it
to get
don't.
Over it.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So there we go. And you guys had a wonderful show, and I apologize that I'm so busy most of the time. I don't get a chance to call in, but I'll make it my business to try to call in the future. And I appreciate you guys giving us this forum.
And
yes.
we appreciate you, Sister Dina. Yes, join us in the future. I'm going to take my next caller. She's the co-founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. And that is my buddy and pal, Sister Lynn Miller. Good evening, ladies.
Hey, everybody.
Hi,
absolutely. Absolutely, Sister Amulet. Thank you so much. I'm so honored and grateful
thank
for you to be here. I'm not even going to take up any time today because it's late, and the show was phenomenal. The show was phenomenal.
Awesome.
Honestly, I was glued. Like I was chasing the kids. I was trying to get the kids out the room when I was calling in, because I'm 55, and my parents. I wanted to contribute. Really, it was more of what my mother used to say, because my parents were married 67 years. My father died 2 months before their 68th wedding anniversary, and I talked to my mother, and I'm adopted. Let me tell you, it's a long story. I'm not going to go into it, the whole thing. But my mother told me from the beginning that we never actually talk to the other person before we get together with them. Like, we never say, even before the marriage, you know, like, we never say, so what is a relationship? What does that mean to you? What does boyfriend, what does that mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
What is girlfriend? What does that word mean to you? And the same thing, as you're, you know, progressing and you're going to find out, what does the word marriage mean to you? What does the word husband mean to you? What does the word wife mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because you may be floored at what your potential mate says.
Yeah.
This is what you must find out from this other person if you even want to go that route. Now, that's past race and the whole nine yards. Is this even the person... You know, are you in love with the potential of this person, or are you in love with the person right now? What if this person never changes, ever? This is it. This is all you're going to get.
Right.
It's, Exactly. Are you in love with who you think you can change them? I'm such a good woman. You know how women do.
Right.
You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
woman.
Of course. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and being a woman and being a counselor, I had been a counselor for 23 years, and I watched young women that at this moment still breaks my heart. You know what I mean? Because of we talk about how, yeah, they do things to feel good because they don't have anything else to feel good. Like, they
That's
go
right.
home to an abusive home, an abusive
right.
neighborhood, an abusive police, an abusive friggin' systems, an abusive,
yeah.
this is what they do, so the only time they feel good is having drugs and sex and to eat and get fat, and that's why they do these things. They have
That's
to feel good somewhere.
That's right.
You know? No,
the
I'm not saying, boys. You know what I mean. I'm not saying that's, but to understand that sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, to understand, because I've been on the other side of the desk, you know what I mean? I'm going to say I've been on both sides of the desk,
yeah,
you know, and when you're on the other side, when you're coming, like, to the people, the young ladies and young men right now, I kind of feel like they're missing, like, the block mom. They're missing grandma. You know what I mean? Like, grandma's now 40.
They go to the mall. They're going to get their hair done. They're going to get their nails done.
With their grandchildren.
Right.
Do you know you know what I'm saying? They're smoking weed with their grandkids.
Yeah, pretty scary.
So there's those of us, and I told Tony, I don't know how many times, I feel sometimes like I want to be on these talk shows all the time, but I feel like we sing into the choir. Because we know.
Right.
And these discussions, we need it. We absolutely need it.
Yeah.
But almost like we're singing to the choir. How do we reach them?
Right.
How do we get exactly everything that we said?
Mm-hmm.
I want to get it to them. Yeah.
We
need to get it
to them.
We
have to have an open forum. Yeah, a forum that invites
absolutely.
The youth. They need a forum, and I think it starts with the youth, the young people, those that are in the adolescent population, those that are my son's age.
Our parents.
They need a forum.
And their parents.
Yes.
They have
children. They need a non-judgmental forum.
Where they absolutely.
Can be open.
There you go.
That's it. And
that's
talk
right.
about it. Because where they can feel comfortable and be real with us. And be real.
Yeah,
we
need
with them
to listen.
And take off the mask. Yeah, and take off the mask.
Because you know what?
We need to stop pretending.
Sister Emily, I have, and I'm, like I said, I'm 55 years old. And I've come to the realization in my life, not only for me, and so I'm saying it for me, that I have failed them. I don't know exactly where I did it at. I don't know what I missed, but I have failed them. And I want to know how I can help. How can I pay them back? What did I miss? What did I not do?
Because
I truly believe that it's in my generation. Yeah.
Really?
But anyway, those were my comments. Thank you. I so much wanted to just say thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate you calling in. You're missed, honey. Okay? Please. Please. Because you're missed. You know, I missed you being on here with me. But I realize, you know, you be very busy at times, you know, but we're still here. We, you know, we holding it down. You know, this is ours. Do this as a family. I'm going to get final comments because there are still a few people that are holding on, but thank God I got all the callers in tonight. And I'm going to go with final comments. I'm going to give everybody 3 minutes, please, 3 minutes or less. And I'm going to start off with Sister Kashiba because she's still on the line. 3 minutes, Sister Kashiba. Final comments. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. This is Queen Sheba. I love the talk from all the ones up there were talking about love and family. Yeah, but only thing we need to work on now is mainly get our youth to love one another, not hurt one another. It's time for nothing but love. And love in the ancient Kemet language is myrrh. So it's time for myrrh time.
All right now. Thank you. And come back anytime, sister. Anytime.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Yeah.
Gonna go to Brother Kayem for his final comments. 3 minutes or less. Brother Kahem, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here, brother. Great show. Thank you, sister, for everything. My final comments is that, you know, I got to stand my ground. We are dealing with a slave master. That doesn't mean that we have to be a slave, but he is what he is. He's a colonizer, and he's been doing everything in his power to destroy us, and he's been mostly successful. And the reason why he's successful is because we're scared of him. We're scared to say, hey, man, you a devil. You have done this to our schools. You've done this and that and this and that. And that's why we're not in chains anymore, because he knows that we're completely his. So what I'm saying is that is our unity. I'm a black man. I'm a spiritual man, but I am a black man. And that is the only thing I believe that we can unite together on to make us successful. Unite as black people against the things that destroy us as a family, and at the same time, what you're doing, work on ascending and, you know, being whole and one with yourself and all of those other things. But we're in a battle, and, you know, it doesn't end until it ends, and that's my life, so I don't really care. I'm going to fight it anyway. That's my piece.
Thanks again, Brother Kahem. I really appreciate you calling in, my brother. You're welcome back anytime to join us. I really appreciate the support that you gave us tonight. Thanks again. Mm-hmm. You be blessed. Next caller, final comment. I'm going to Brother Doc Edgar J. Scott. Doc, final comment.
Hey, man, I just want to say again, brother, you knocked this one out of the ballpark tonight.
Thank you.
Knocked it out of the park again.
Wow.
Well, I couldn't have said it, Doc. Listen.
Wow.
I couldn't have said it without
words.
My guest speaker, Doc. I can't take you credit for that. My guest speaker,
hey.
I mean, she brought it tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm grateful for her. I believe that.
Hey, I tell you what, the sister is bad. My Africa Queen sister is. She too bad. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
My African Queen sister is too bad. I'm telling you, she in the family. She could come here now because we cooked up some greens. So I know she could come here and eat something. Today we put some potatoes in them. That makes your mouth water, doesn't it?
Oh, yummy. As long as there's no pork, I'm cool.
Ain't no pork in them. Hey, I just got one thing. I just got a couple things to say. One of them is
Doc, real quick. Good.
Real quick. One of the things that I think, you know, we're talking about marriage. And one of the things that my African Queen wife got me squared away on was before we got married, we dated about a year. And it was a real interesting date situation. Won't get into that right now either. But we were in counseling before, when we first started even talking to each other. We got into counseling and we took the MMPI because we were both in college working on. I was working on my PhD. She's working on her master's, and she's a counselor herself. And we've been in counseling for 20-some years. We go every month because we felt like that was a break. It was good.
Uh-huh.
And we both are kind of headstrong, so we do it for ourselves. And one thing about us is in our cultures, we don't do that. And you need to do something like that for yourself. It's good to talk to a third party. And so... that's one thing that you can do for a healthy marriage or a healthy relationship is talk to a third party to get a different perspective, to talk about things. And the people that we've talked to, we wind up talking to them. They love talking to us because we usually wind up talking them through their issues. And they said, boy, we love talking to you. And so that's one thing that we would suggest that you do is talk to somebody else. And this thing on love has never been that thing for me that was this thing that you do and it brought you all this joy. It's always been work to me. And I took it I took it as a job and as something that I was going to do for the rest of my life, and I took it on as a job. And immediately, I had never had any children of my own, and I knew that this was going to be a lifetime event, and my wife had two daughters, and I took them on as my own, and we took on another daughter, and that was it. And mm-hmm. so I'm like a lion. I am a Leo, and so I'm very protective so of my daughters, and that's mm-hmm. it. You take it on, and that's it. I'm an eagle. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
it. And mm-hmm. so that's it. That's all there is, and all you have is your family, and that's it. And so
yeah.
it's just work, but the joy comes to see something that you can do for the other people in your life. And so I enjoy cooking, so every day I come home and I cook for the African queens in my life, and mm-hmm. and that brings me joy, something that I can do for someone else. And so that's it. If you want to be happy, that's how you become happy. Is there problems? I don't know that there's problems. You just overcome them. It just takes work, and two people commit to that work.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
all there is.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
Beautiful. I love it.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Doc.
As always, man, I'm so blessed to have you in my life, man. Thank you so much.
Now we're blessed to have you in our lives, and now you done put this sister in our lives too. So God, Goddess, the angels, and the ancestors, thank you again. Love you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yes.
See you on Facebook.
I got Sister Dina. Final comment.
My final comments would be focus on being real with self, being honest and transparent about yourself and the life that you're living. Focus more on self-love and self-respect, because our value is not determined by the quality, or by the things that we can collect or the people that we can overcome or subdue. It's determined by the quality of our character. And that's what we've gotten away from. The bottom line is we're looking outside for value, and the bottom line is the value of who we are is only and can only be found within, even as it pertains to the God that we say that we serve.
That's it.
Well, thank you very much. Sister Dina. Please
very much for
call back. Spread the word.
I shall.
Tell them.
I shall. It was a wonderful show.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion tonight. And finally, but not least, our guest for this evening, Sister Anyanette. Final comment.
Well, first and foremost, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. I appreciated every person that called in and was on the panel tonight. I learned a lot from everybody. It was truly a blessing. I'm at a loss for words. Absolutely overwhelmed by the energy and the information that came forth this evening. It was a blessing, and I thank you so much for having me. I really do. And those are my final words. Just grateful. Gratitude.
Oh,
thank you so much.
Well, we are grateful to have had you on the show tonight. You got a shout-out on Facebook from a Reverend Danny.
Yes, that's my love.
Well, let me tell you what he says. He says, Emotap, my sister, outstanding interview.
Is it a D-A-N-N-I? That's a woman.
That's a woman.
That's a
female.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
That's my girl.
Okay, I see the picture now. Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
It says, mm-hmm. you most definitely threw up some jewels of truth for many to anchor into. Loved what Dr. Scott spoke to. Love what Dr. Scott spoke.
Yeah.
He is quite special. Our brother who was behind the wall was quite powerful. You could feel his deep commitment to resolve those issues that no longer serve him. Spirit is telling me that you are the person he needs to speak with. And hopefully, she put it on me. Brother Tony Nix can link the two of you. Infinite
okay.
respect, my Empress, sister, and comrade. I had to read that over the air. Okay,
oh, yeah.
so,
oh, yeah.
Sister, God bless you. Again, mm-hmm. thank you for coming on. Please come back
bless
anytime.
You. Yeah.
Anytime.
Thank you so much.
We've had a great discussion tonight. Usually I have so much to say in the end, but I really don't have anything to say except for thank you. Thank everyone
thank
who
you.
Called in. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all rose for the occasion. If no one told you today, God loves you, and so do I, and I'll be back sometime this week. Stay tuned. I don't know what it's going to be, but you know I'm going to try to take it to another level. Listen, y'all be blessed. And we need to get together in our communities and fight the plague of gun violence. Because the sooner that we have no violence, the sooner we will know peace. That's KNOW Deuces. I love you and talk to you soon. Have a blessed night.
There's only three things for sure. Taxes, debt, Hey.